Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. I want to thank all of you for tuning in each and every week and being a part of our family. We want to thank all of you out there for the prayers that you continually throw up to God for us, as we need all of them, because the enemy is always trying to attack. The good news is we have authority over him. I am so excited today to be here with you as we are in the process of bringing you some news that you're going to hear right here on God News Network that is going to explode inside you, and it's going to be very powerful. We brought our good friend, Mr. Ron Shaner from Michigan, who is a special guest we are going to have on the show today for you. And he is a man that has done incredible things for people around the world, relationships, different things of that nature. Through a systematic walk, he shows people how to be free from bondage. Also, you're really going to enjoy how Ron has been used by God to set captives free, heal people, restore marriages and other relationships, perform miracles, and more, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Ron says he was stuck. He was stuck like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:20-23. He says he wants to do right, but he can't do right. You've all heard us talk about that before on God News Network, one of our favorite chapters in the Bible, where Paul goes back and forth, the battle of the flesh, we like to call it. There is a law operating in my members, Paul says, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Like Paul, who is seasoned as a Christian for 20 years, a church planner, and an apostle missionary and the greatest evangelist of his era at the time of his writing epistle to the Romans, the things Ron wanted to do was also not doing himself. Why? We are going to find out that and more as we bring on Mr. Ron Shaner. How you doing, Brother Ron?
I'm doing fantastic. I pray that you and your audience is doing as well.
Well, we are doing wonderful. I'm so excited to have you here. You and I have had an opportunity to speak a couple of times, and it amazes me because you really got such a great grasp of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're not bound in that bondage. You don't have any of the stresses that we see on TV all the time with all the news going on around the world about the politics, about the politicians, the battles of the flesh, the battles of the soul, but not the battle of the spirit. And you get that. You get what's going on in the spirit. And it's rare that we run into a lot of people that are run into people that really seem to grasp that. And Ron, you seem to really get a hold of that. I'd like for you to share with our audience a little bit about yourself, what you do, what really fires you up inside, and what is your life's mission. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you and let you just share a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, and what gets you really excited.
Well, thank you, but that's a lot to cover in just a short segment, so praise God.
We might have to keep it short, but we'll cover it, right?
Well, exactly. So I won't go from the womb to the tomb, but I will share details so that people can grasp where I'm at. But I'm 70 years young. As a little child, I was in love with my Creator back in the day when I was raised in a Catholic environment, going to Catholic school for 9 years, going to Mass 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, and then on Sundays. At the very beginning of my walk, I was just a very small child because my dad started me in school about a year and a half early. So I was smaller than all the people around me. And I had to stand on the kneeler in the pew in order to look over the top of it. But at that moment in time, there was never a doubt in my entire existence that I did not believe who God was and who Jesus Christ was, nor did I not believe any of the stories that were told to me as a child through the limited amount of material that came my way. But as I got older in life and coming out of a very dysfunctional home with a very terrible background and generations of that stuff going on, my dad had 13 in the family and he had 9 or 10 brothers, and they were just all very difficult people that had difficult lives because they didn't know. And so when I grew up and I experienced that as a child, I just knew that I was not going to continue to live that way for my life. There was something I was going to do different. Didn't know what that looked like, didn't know how to go about that, but the sovereignty of our God could hear the cry, the same cry that I had, the same cry your audience has, that God hears you. He knows exactly where you're at. And his arm is not too short that he can't reach you, nor is his voice so weak you can't hear him. And if you cry out with sincerity, God will meet you right there.
Amen.
And so I did those things, went through Vietnam and came back home from there and met a wonderful woman that I've been proudly married to for 49 years now. But we said before we got married that we made a decision. We were not going to live the way our parents lived. We both made that decision, but we did not know how to fix that, how to change that. And the goodness of our God, he heard what we said, and he called us into his kingdom. We were married approximately, 13 years when that took place. We were going to church every Sunday as Catholics, I wasn't getting what I needed. There was something that it was missing in my personal life. And I had a heart to, I wanted to know, so I got to know the priests. I mean, I got personal with these people because I wanted to pick their brain. I wanted to understand the things that they knew. And so I asked this one Catholic priest, and I'm not against Catholics, believe me, by this statement. I hope there are any Catholics that are listening that won't take this the wrong way. But I asked him a very serious question. His name was Father Jerry years ago. That's plenty of years ago. I asked him, what's the difference between the Catholic faith and the rest of these faiths? And his description to me wasn't clear enough for me really to get my arms around it, but yet I wasn't getting fulfilled as an individual. I would wake up every morning of my life angry. Now, I believed in the Lord. I loved my wife. I had my own business, and we were working hard and, tithing and giving offerings and those kinds of things, but my life was just, it wasn't the way it should have been. And so God in his sovereignty called me into the kingdom when I was 35 years old. I was at a full gospel businessmen's convention downtown Detroit at Cobo Hall, which is a big hall that they use many times. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior through that one single meeting. And when I left that meeting and I drove home that day, I threw my cigarettes out of my pocket. I told my wife I'm never smoking again, and there were some other things that needed to be dealt with that they didn't vocalize that day, but it was accomplished internally through salvation. Not only was I saved that day, but I was also filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I had no clue that some people believe you can and some people believe you can't. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew that whatever God had, I wanted it, and so amen. I stood in line, and as a Catholic now, here's what you have to understand. Typically, if you were going to do something in the Catholic faith, you were going to actually receive something tangible, okay? So I'm expecting that as I get through this line, he's going to give me something that's going to get me to that place. Didn't know what it looked like. So when I got to that front of the line and he asked me the question, had I ever officially accepted Christ as my Savior? And I thought about it, and I said, well, I don't know that I did or didn't. And he said, would you like to do that today? And I said, absolutely. And so he walked me through my wife and I both through the Romans salvation message. And then he said, well, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, absolutely. That's why I got in line. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he prayed and laid hands on me. Boy, the Lord just laid me out on the floor. I'm got a brand new language going on here. And I got back up and went through the full gospel convention. And then after the convention was over, I don't know nothing. Like I tell people in my explanations, before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was 6'1". I had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I was spiritually ignorant, didn't know anything. And now that I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm still 6'1". I still have blue eyes and blonde hair, and I'm still ignorant when it comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But something happened internally inside of me, which I later come to understand, that the very presence of my God was now resident within me. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lived and dwelt in my mortal being. And now I was on this road of sanctification. And so I did what normal people do. I attended a church as God led me. I was an elder. I got into the prayer team, and signs and wonders were coming through my life, and all these things were going on. But I still was not complete or whole, because I still would wake up every day angry. There'd be times when I would lose my temper and lash out at my wife or my children or whoever was around me, and then have to repent for that. And I know some of the audience may be able to relate to that, because this is just what life looks like. And so as the Apostle Paul, as Rick stated earlier in Romans 7, why he was perplexed. And so I was glad that God showed me in Romans exactly that this example of Paul was exactly where I was at. And so I went on to really I've spent over 35 years studying the book of Romans. So I wanted to own it. If my Jesus died on a cross to set me free, I needed to own what my God died for. And I'm so grateful that he came into my life, and all I could give him was all he wanted, was all of me. And so I gave him all I had. My motive was only pure to love him, to serve him, and to do whatever he wanted me to do. And so for the past 35 years, wherever God led me to do, we've been doing it faithfully. My wife and I together, we wore out, I think, 2 or 3 cars with hundreds of thousands of miles, driving the highways and byways, learning what God wanted us to do and taking it all over. And God so graciously has allowed us to go in the world setting now. For years now, God has placed upon my heart to ask for the nations of the world. And I'm so grateful that what God is doing, he's now connecting me to, like yourself, Rick, you and your audience, to people that have the same like faith, that we're looking for the nations of the world. There has to be a change. It can no longer be business as usual, because we're getting too close to the end and the harvest is not coming in.
And Ron,
so, yes.
I gotta pipe in here on how much truth you just spoke was just overwhelming. What we are experiencing is the same thing. I just had a communique with another pastor a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the whole world is groaning. Or the verses in the Bible where it talks about the world will groan for the sons of God to be manifested, right?
Yeah.
I told him, I said, God's revealing to me, that's now. That's not
right
now. Tomorrow. That's right now.
Right
and
now.
We are the sons of God. We are being manifested by faith, by taking a hold of the kingdom of God is taken by force through faith. It's just all through faith from A to Z, as Paul says. It's faith from the beginning to the end. It's faith. And
absolutely,
we are the sons of God. We have the authority. We can take the territory. We need to get back involved in everything and boldly say, this is our territory. And I think that's why God has put the administration he has in as a reprieve for a time for us to infiltrate every area of our country.
Absolutely.
And the
absolutely
world. And I just feel that in my bones that that's what's going
absolutely
on. And you just totally, totally stamped that. And that's how I feel as well. So I just want to, kudos, that is well said, because that's what's going on in my spirit. The other pastor, Bob, his spirit, Minister Albert, he's on the radio program all the time. He's on the God News Network a lot, and he was Catholic, and he ran into the same kind of challenges that you ran in, how anemic they were at the true message of the Gospels. But we'll get into that.
And to go along, to piggyback on what you just said, and I'm not saying this against anybody, because, you know, everybody gave me everything that they had.
Sure.
Okay. But everything they had wasn't enough for me, because I needed more. Okay. I needed to know what my Jesus went to the cross for. Not because you only experienced it at this level, but I want the totality of what my Jesus died for.
Amen.
I want it transferred into my life, because he said I could have it. Yes. He said, if I would follow his ways, in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God and obey all his commands, then God says, this is what I will do for your life. And so you read those next 14 verses. That's the guarantee of the promises that the cross provided for us. Because back in the day when he set that up, the people that he gave that material to could not obey in the way that needed to be obeyed for them to receive the promises of God, because Jesus hadn't come yet, Jesus hadn't died yet, and Jesus, God's presence, had not then filled mankind, so that mankind now has the power and the will to serve as God. So if we look at that, you know, what does that look like? What it looked like for me, because I'm the kind of guy that has to see things. I've got to be able to put it together so that this going by faith is good, but my faith has to have a reality to it. And the reality of my faith is the revelation of what God's showing me. And so if I ask, my God will show me the revelation so that I can now not only apply that for my own personal life, so that I can actually articulate it for those that are asking the same question but are not getting the results. And so there's so many key things to go on. We will stay focused here. But one of the things that I know, there's two things why people perish, and they perish because they have no knowledge, or they perish because they have no vision. So even after you come into the kingdom of God and you start acquiring the knowledge, you may still perish because you don't have a vision. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life specific. And if we, at this end situation that God is mounting, if we don't all get into our position, then how does God get it done when the army is faltering? So if this is nothing but a mandate to call you to come out from your sleep and out from your slumber and allow God to touch you, the resurrection power of God, let it come forth upon your life. Yes. Let it get you from being complacent to be on fire. We have a missionary in New Mexico that we're dealing with that's helping us spread this gospel around the world. And I talked with her today, and she said that the enemy attempted to put their fire out after numbers of years. They were considering selling everything and just going back to the States. And because God brought Pathways into their life and they started being part of that, she said today that she felt like God had lit her on fire like a firecracker. And when you look at that, now we're talking from depression to get out of the ministry to being vibrantly alive again, because the very hand of God is touching you. So I'm praying right now, standing in agreement with Rick Johnson and all that's involved with this, along with my wife, and then we have a couple that's part of our team, Rick and Jennifer Swan, that the Spirit of God would infiltrate you right now, that it would touch you. And I believe this, that wherever you're sitting, if you're honest and open before God and you cry out to God and you put your hand on the very screen that you're looking at and listening to, that my God will impact you with his glory and his power, and he will heal you, deliver you, and set you free.
Yes.
And I trust God. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul, because my Jesus Christ, your God, died, gave his life so you could have your life. And he said, I'm not just giving you just the life, but I'm going to give you a life that has more abundance than you could ever think of. The plan and purposes that I have for you, as Jeremiah 29:11 states, are good. They're not evil. They're plans to give you hope and a future filled with hope. But you have to get yourself, your view off of self. You've got to quit being self-focused, and you got to be God-focused. And when you get God-focused and you get yourself in the line that God wants you to be positionally, then God can use you for the purpose he created you for, and you'll impact the world. And Pathways of Wholeness is a tool that God used to set me straight, to get me online to where I needed to be, to get me empowered and impacted so that I actually have a knowledge and an understanding. My faith is absolute, okay? That's not in question. But my knowledge was weak, and the spiritual wisdom I needed to be able to take application to my knowledge wasn't there either, but it is now. And so just as I read the Bible for the very first time many, many years ago, and I got to the point where I was reading about Solomon being the wisest man of all the earth that God had created, and I stopped right there. And I just prayed, just because I remember the stories how Abraham would communicate with God as he's walking with him, and sometimes he would negotiate with God, you know. So I figured negotiation's okay. There's nothing wrong with that if it's for the right reason. And so I'm having some negotiation with God the moment I read that. And I said, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And you're not a respecter of persons, because I've read that in other parts of the word. And you gave Solomon that spirit of wisdom, which then elevated him to be the wisest man in the world. And I said, Father God, it was because he asked for the right reason. And I said, Father God, I'm asking you for the same spirit of wisdom that you gave Solomon. And I want it for the same reason. So that in every situation, in every circumstance, I have the wisdom to help somebody get out of a situation that they're in. I don't want larger barns. I'm not looking for riches, although I have all that I need because my God is sovereign. He supplies all of my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm following God's obedience with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my strength. And I'll go anywhere in the world, talk to anybody in the world. And if, because the word of God in many cases is conditional, in other cases, it's unconditional. So in the conditional parts of the Bible where we have to actually interact with God and we need to meet that condition before we see the hand of God move is where people are missing it. And so Pathways of Wholeness is a vehicle of application, because you'll have the understanding and the wisdom to be able to walk this thing out. And that's what it's all about. We have to have this, because without that, my family fails, everything around me fails, and then what happens is then I'm not useful or fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter. And so, you know, I base my walk on what God's word says. My actions are totally pure, and it's God's love, and God's love is giving without looking for return. So our ministry is a ministry that doesn't charge for the 10 weeks that you're on the internet. We don't ask you to pay us anything or give us anything, because as one man stated back in the day, the gospel was free. And I listened to him years ago, but yes, the gospel was free, but it cost Jesus everything.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm at. That's where my walk is at. And if I can have an opportunity to be part of your life through my relationship with Rick Johnson and God News Network, and I know Albert at the TV station as well when I met him, that's what this is all about. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through you as an individual.
Wow. Well said. Amen. Well said. Amen. You know, you said so many things there. Questions were coming to me at the time, but one of the questions I want to ask you is, when you brought up that people are self-focused or they're God-focused, and you got to get out of the self-focus and into being focused on God, I've always said that's the line. That Absolutely. Is the line. You can tell where they're coming from, whether they're speaking of self or they're speaking of others, you know, and they're constantly in the service mode. They're in the servant to help them. And the spirit rises up in you as you're talking and giving of yourself to want people to get to know the Lord, like we know the Lord, that he is everything. Absolutely. And that he will take care of you as you know, the closest we can come to, I think, is picture you've got a little baby and it's your baby. What would you do for that baby? He is a bazillion, trillion, quadrillion times more passionate and compassionate and loving and kind towards us. If we just get out of the way, quit being the fleshly minded individuals and say, I'm all yours. And when you ask people to put their hand on the screen, it's an act of faith that says, I want that. And you're asking them to put that act of faith out there, and God will bless that act of faith. I've seen it over and over and over and over. And I agree with you on everything you said, that people are going to be healed. The other thing I want to ask you about is this, but before we move on to it, when you see this self versus others, do you feel that that is probably one of the biggest challenges we see, like on the news networks right now, with what's going on and all these riots and all this goofy stuff? And then, and I love how the media is presenting it, and they're doing it to the soul of man, the mind, their will, their emotions. They're really playing to that goofiness, is like I like to call it, because it's not real. It's all fake. You know, it's all fake. They were worried about fake news being the smaller news channels out there like God News Network. The truth is, the big ones are the fake news. That's absolutely the truth.
Absolutely. When for me, I had to actually understand what the playing field looked like. I mean, for me, back in the days, early days when I was in construction and I was working in construction, and somebody gave me an assignment to do. I said, I'd be glad to do the assignment, but why do you want me to do it? I don't want to just dig a hole, because anybody can dig a hole. Well, now I'm digging a hole because we're going to build a building. So when someone walks up to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm building a building. They said, no, you're digging a hole. I said, no, I'm building a building. Because I had the knowledge of what was going to happen because I was willing to do that.
You had the
and
why.
So, exactly. So for me, for me to be victorious based on what the Word of God declares, I can be victorious in, I have to actually understand what the playing field looks like. And if I do not understand what the playing field looks like, then even with the knowledge that I get from the Word of God, I don't know how to use it because I don't understand the field I'm in. And so I have to know that, first of all, I'm a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. But where most people have it wrong is that they think they're having a earthly experience. That's not true. I'm a spirit being having a spiritual experience, but I'm living on this earth. Okay. So if that's the realm I'm working in, and the spiritual realm that I'm living in, that I should be living in, which everybody's living in the spiritual realm in one or the other spirit realms. Okay. That spirit's going to live forever. This body that is only just a vehicle to transport my spirit is going to get old and die, and it's going to fall away, and my spirit's going to live forever. So if I don't understand what's going on in the spiritual realm, because it talks about in Ephesians that we don't fight against this flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places that come against the knowledge of God. So, okay, I understand that, but Amen. Still, how do I grip my arms around that yet? Well, what I use is I like to have, like Jesus used parables, and so I like to put things together like that so it's something somebody can comprehend no matter what level they're at. And so what I look like when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, what was dead because of Adam and my birth on this earth now comes alive for the first time. My spirit man that was dead in sin now comes alive in Christ. So now I have got a whole brand new being that's inside of me that didn't exist before that. So now what happens is that has a different language than what I've been used to operating in. And so now I have to learn the language of that new operational system. And that operational system is spiritual.
And it's also got different rules.
Absolutely, totally. But yet, all my knowledge and all my habits and all my personalities has all been established with this other processing unit. So how do I convert over? And that's where people are having the trouble. They don't know how to convert over. They don't understand even your own personal construction. And so I had to know what my construction was like. And so once I understood what that construction looked like, a simple example, most people are familiar with DNA. Okay. because we heard so much about that.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
If you take a look at Adam and Eve, when they were originally created, their DNA was perfect. They were to live forever. Well, all of a sudden, the alteration came in, sin came in, and now they're designed to die. They're going to die. Well, right there, we see that sin altered their DNA.
It was the first.
Permanently.
I call it the first virus.
Absolutely. It altered it permanently, right?
That's right, yeah.
So now when Jesus Christ comes in, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior, my spirit man is perfect now because it's not good. Its DNA is perfect. It's not going to die.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I have to learn the language, and I have to understand, and for your audience, this is something that is not necessarily easy for you to get your arms around at this moment. But I pray that through study and through prayer, God will show you how important this statement is. As small as it may seem, it is very important. And it talks about that in Genesis 3. When God gives us the example of what took place with the temptation, then after the temptation, and then when God came back into the garden. Now, you know that God knows everything that's going on. The Bible says that he knows your intentions before you even have a thought.
That's right.
So that's how much he knows. So when God asked a specific question directed directly to Adam, he did not ask that question because he didn't know the answer. God absolutely knew the answer. The reason he asked the question, he wanted to know if Adam knew the answer.
That's right.
And what happened was we realized after God asked him the question, when God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Let's just stop right there. When you look at the word who, what does that mean? That is a spiritual being.
Yes.
There was no other created beings existing except the who. And the who was Satan. And Satan was able to speak to Adam internally because his spirit was now dead in sin, and now Satan was his master. And Adam could not tell the difference. He didn't know that that new voice that was inside of him, that's coming out of him, was not his own voice. And so what I want you to understand is God's asking you the same question. Who told you that? So if you don't know whose voice you're listening to,
because
I guarantee you this, the voice you have been listening to is not your voice. Now take some time and don't just brush me off. Take some time, because I believe that's a sobering moment for many of you. Because until you understand where that voice is coming from, you will not have your victory.
Amen. Amen. You know, on one of your videos on your website, I love it because you stop and you say, "Do you remember your sins?" And you can tell everybody's going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Why?
Exactly.
He doesn't remember them anymore.
That's it.
We did a whole show on who told you you sinned.
Yep.
Who told you you sinned? Here's, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Romans 6, we've been freed from sin.
That's
you've
it.
Accepted Christ. You've been freed from sin. So my question to you, if you're listening out there, is how can you be freed from something but still be in bondage to it? You're either in bondage to it or you're not in bondage to it. And the difference is the dividing line, which is at the cross. That's the only way you can be freed from the sin, because Christ did it for us. Not any other way, not your effort, not
right.
You're a good person, not that you think you're good enough, you can do it. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't met that person yet on earth who can do it. Good news is there was one, and he came
That's
down
nice.
And he loved us so much. Imagine you being a God, and you are the God of all, of everything. It's hard to imagine, but you now going to give all that up, come down in the flesh because you love the flesh people that much.
Absolutely.
Really? That takes a love beyond any understanding of the human being. Ron, that was so
thank you. Could I touch
great.
On one thing?
Yeah.
Touch on something here?
Yeah.
Because I feel it's important for your listening audience. A lot of stuff has been said tonight. Much of it is going to take time for you to be able to assimilate that and really get that down inside of you.
Yes.
But you really need to be real clear in your understanding of actually what's going on and what's going on against you. Because what happens now is the majority of audience, if not all of your audience, believe that they are the problem. Okay. And I want you to totally understand that you are not the problem. Amen. You are not the problem. You were born into the problem, trained into the problem, and now the problem's got a hold of you because you lack the knowledge to understand what really happened. And so what I'm telling you is you're not the problem. When you deal with these spirits that are behind this stuff, the unloving spirit, that's probably the most rampant one of the bunch, because when you take a look at the Word of God in the book of John, says God is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah. The opposite of that is hatred. It's unloving. It's the opposite of unloving. Being aware is one thing. Being unaware will kill you, okay? And so there's this love and this unlove. There's a big difference between the two. Now, when we were born in our normal living standard, we were born with our spirit man dead in sin. So who was our Lord and who was our master? What did we learn? We were separated from God at birth, and many are still separated from God currently today until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So what does that time frame look like, and what was that impact that took place in your life? Many people are into drugs. They're into all these other things because they're trying to fill that void of this unloving situation with something else that will alter their state of mind so that they don't feel so poorly about themselves. But I'm telling you that your Creator died so you could have this life, but don't stop short without getting the fullness of what He died for, because God says, I want you whole, body, soul, and spirit. And so for you to become whole, you have to follow the instructions that go on in the epistles, which talk about the sanctification side of what's going on. And as you start to apply those principles in your life, everything around you changes. So at the beginning of your walk, you have this honeymoon, and everything is just glorious. And all of a sudden, as time passes, because God gives you ample time to study, to get into the Word, to assemble yourself, and to do those kinds of things. And then as you start weaning away from this honeymoon, now the reality of life sets in. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, look what's going on. We have more things going on in the church than we do outside of the church. We have more divorces. We see this stuff all the time. It's not the way it should be. And it's only happening to you because of what you don't know or because of what you're tolerating. You're enabling this stuff to happen. When I had a good long conversation with my wife, we've been married 49 years, and I said, you know what? I'm glad that God created me in the environment He did, as abusive as it was, okay? It created a grit and a fire in me that nobody can put out. And I'm challenging you today, if you've been beaten and broken and discarded and rejected, stand up, shake off the dust, grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and call upon your God, and He will heal you.
Amen. So do you believe, you talk about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Do you believe there's a spiritual relationship between that and the outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you share
Absolutely.
That?
Well, the outer court, I believe, is before you accept Christ, because you're just looking. You're looking in, okay? When you accept Christ, you come into the inner court, okay? And that's where you start. That's where you begin. Because He can't take you into the Holy of Holies because you're not holy yet. You're righteous, but not holy. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ, your acceptance of Jesus Christ, that made you righteous before God. But holiness comes in through the sanctification side of you walking out your salvation each and every day. And you learn, you know, if you don't know the principles of God, then you don't know what to obey. I mean, you repented, God forgave you of your sins, but you don't even know what you're violating because you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. So you've got to get the knowledge and understanding of what God is requiring of you as His child. And we got to get to the place where we get beyond being His child, okay? And we start, the Bible says in Hebrews, those that are on the milk of the Word. Now, we're talking about Christians now. It said those that are on the milk of the Word cannot tell the difference between good or evil. Now, that is a poor place to live in, because now you're a Christian and family of God, and you can't tell the difference between good and evil. You have a problem. But God says this in Hebrews, those who have got on the meat of the word, have exercised their senses to be able to determine the difference between good and evil. Okay, so now once I get to that level, I can start saying, well, yeah, I got to start doing this more and quit doing this. And so now we start moving down that line. But the Bible says this, there is a high way of holiness. It said, though you may be a fool, you can enter in. And when you enter in on that highway of holiness, God says this, no ravenous beast shall harm you. I will protect you and keep you. And while you're walking down that highway of holiness through sanctification, there's a place that you can go, and that is the Holy of Holies. Because the Bible says the secret place of the Most High God is waiting for you. And that's how I see it.
So the ignorance, we believe, because we've taught this stuff on God News Network, and what God has showed me personally is that people, he saved the world. But the fact is, they don't know it. So they haven't received it. So it's kind of like everybody's got to just picture this as kind of an example. That's all this is. There's a little glass in heaven. Everybody's name's written on it. This is salvation. For you to get salvation, you have to receive it. You have to take it. You have to say yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to believe and you have to confess him as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. So until you take that, even though your name is on it, you're already saved as far as the salvation is there for you, but you haven't taken it. So you're not really saved until you receive it, but he did it for everybody. Everybody Absolutely. Who wants to take that glass and drink of it. Okay, now that's what we call the outer court, kind of what you're talking about. The righteousness of God is the same. How many Christians, if I ask 1,000 Christians, how many of you are 100% righteous? What percentage of hands do you see going up?
I would hope that they all would do that.
Unfortunately, we found that it's about 10%. When we have asked that question and we say, how many of you are not 50, not 20, but 100% righteous. That means perfect standing with God. You are 100% just as if you'd never sinned. You're 100% righteous. So how many of you qualify? You don't see a lot of hands. Mm-hmm. It's really strange, but you don't. Absolutely. Even though he did that for them, that was part of the gifting that comes along with salvation by accepting Jesus Christ, so does righteousness. Now, right. We also show in the Bible, it's the same with sanctification and holiness, as it talks about in Hebrews. You've been made holy, chapter 10.
That's right, where exactly.
It's the same. Just because you have, you've accepted Christ, you've come to that knowledge, you've got to the outer court, okay, I'm good. Righteousness now, you get to that point, you're, okay, wow, I'm righteous. I'm awesome in God's eyes, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Sanctified is where we hear a lot of pastors and a lot of different things where there's a lot of, I call, not, it's kind of around the edge, but not right on target. It's the same as righteousness is what we've uncovered in the Word of God. And holiness is by faith, everything, first to last, by faith. Righteousness, salvation, holiness, sanctification, all by faith. So when are you going to take hold of your salvation? When are you going to take hold of your righteousness? When are you going to take hold of that sanctification? When are you going to take hold of your holiness? It's there. It's for Absolutely. You now, today, not tomorrow. You mean I'm Amen. Holy? You mean I'm righteous? Yes, you who are listening, you Absolutely. Are. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's all yours. Was it free? It was free for you.
That's right.
It cost Jesus everything.
Everything, absolutely.
So we call it the great exchange. One who deserved no punishment received it. For one who deserved punishment who did not.
Exactly.
What an incredible exchange. How can you not feel the tears rolling up in your heart, the joy rolling up in your heart? Because look at what's going on in the world around you right now. And we have a giant on here today, Ron Shaner, who gets this, who has spent his whole life, who has absolutely poured out his heart to God and understands the love that God has for you. And he's asking you to take hold of by putting your hand on the screen and accepting it, the healing, the holiness, the sanctification, the righteousness, the abundant living by putting your hand on the screen. Just do it. What have you got to lose? If you think what you're doing is working, it's called insanity, right? It doesn't work because you're working from the body. You're working from the soul. You're not working from your righteousness. You're working for your righteousness, which is working by the flesh, by your efforts. We like to take that, Ron, back to the Garden of Eden, where the first two, we call first two real contracts existed. And in the He said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but there's two trees in the middle. One is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and one's called the tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the first place that men were living by the law, let's just say. Because the law, that tree represented where the law really came from, because it's good and evil, right and wrong, your ability, your effort, your fleshly ability to do that. The other tree was the tree of life. That was Christ. That was a representation of Jesus Christ, as the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a representation of law, which is totally based upon man's performance. As Ron pointed out earlier, your self-focus, which is also self-righteousness versus his righteousness, his focus. And when you work from that righteousness, once you understand that knowledge, which Ron's talking about building that foundation, once you work from that righteousness, you have no more worry, no more anxiousness, no more condemnation. Romans 8:1-2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for through Christ Jesus, law of spirit of life set me free, the tree of life, law of spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
There's the two trees. Which tree are you living from, your ability or his? What an incredible thing, Ron. We are so tied together on this. It's amazing. When I was watching your videos, you have got, again, I want to reiterate this. His wife Rosa have developed a Pathways Wholeness Seminar, and it's also on their website, as he talks about, and it guides you through a systematic walking process to get you from that self-focused, self-righteousness driven person from the flesh to light, to beautifulness, absolutely, to peace,
absolutely,
to exactly, to, and where it comes from. The challenge is, as Ron pointed out earlier, people don't know how to make those transitions. They don't know. And I think it goes back to our parents didn't know, their parents didn't know, their parents didn't know, all the way back to Adam.
Absolutely.
You know, and we have a first Adam and a second Adam. And for those of you listening who don't know what that means, Adam was the one who brought sin into the world, and he's called the first Adam, as in Romans chapter 4. The second Adam, Christ, came and set us free from all of that condemnation. But here's what I see, Ron. A lot of Christians are who call themselves Christians, it's kind of like they're still sitting in the jail cell and the door's wide open for them to get free, but they just don't want to leave the jail cell. What do you find is the biggest reason they don't want to get there? What have you found is the biggest obstacle? Why don't I leave this jail cell? Why do they not want to get there?
The reason why is because when going back to the operating platform that we have, what formed the person's character, when you take a look at, the psychologists talk about this, the first, I think, 5 or 6 years of your life are the life-forming years of your life that develops your character, your feelings, and all this stuff. And then everything else is kind of built upon that, okay? So when you're born in life, excuse me, and you're separated from God, then you've never known the loving spirit of God at all. You always have been associated with the unloving spirit because you haven't had the rebirth yet, okay? So until the rebirth takes place, you don't even know what a loving spirit of God looks like. You only heard about him. Okay, so what happens now, depending on the age that this person enters into that relationship, I was, my situation, excuse me, I was 35 years old. I mean, I had everything developed. And so what's happening is now this unloving spirit that was part of my life because I didn't like myself. I mean, people that have curly hair want straight hair. People that are tall want to be short. People that are short want to be tall. So there's nothing that you like about yourself, okay? Well, that's how the enemy got you to violate all of God's law, because Jesus said all the law hangs on these two things. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. If the enemy can turn you against yourself for you not to love yourself, then he's got you violating all of God's law. So that's typically where I believe people are stuck. And then even when they come into the kingdom of God, they still are not learning how to operate in the regenerated platform that God has given them. So they're not walking in the spirit the way God says that you should, because you got this whole brand new way of living and a whole brand new language you got to walk in. And they revert back to their old method. It's like electronics. Everybody's familiar with electronics nowadays, that when they come from the factory, they're preset. And so you can adjust those things if you're smart enough. But typically, we just do the factory settings. All right. So if you would transfer that overview into what you look like as a person, okay, the factory setting that you were born with is your Adamic cardinal nature. And when anything comes up in your life with stressful or whatever that is, why do you find yourself like Paul doing things you don't want to do now? Because your hardwired cardinal default is to go to your cardinal flesh and to let it rip, okay? And so then after you let that rip and you come to your knowledge, oh my goodness, look what I just did, and you repent, you still have all this guilt and shame and condemnation because, oh, look at how could I be this Christian when I act this way? Well, then the second thing is that, in that same scenario now, how could I think that way if I'm supposed to be a Christian? How could I have this evil thought? Well, it's only because you don't even understand the playing field. You don't understand you've got a cardinal nature that is just waiting to show up. You don't understand you've got a cardinal nature with a voice, and there's temptations that come your way just as well as they came to Jesus. And you're just allowing the temptation to guide you around the life instead of recognizing where that voice is coming from and say, no, I'm not partnering with that. I'm following Jesus. So that's where I think it's at. It's in that realm.
Well, I'm going to go here, and I want to show people your website. And if you take a look here, if you go to rcministry.org, you will see there is their website, Ron and Rosa. It's called Restoration Christian Ministry, right? And there's the Pathways to Wholeness. You can go there and get your testimonies, so you can check that out. And as we go down here, you'll see some videos here. I recommend you click on those. They're little short videos that will be able to kind of give you a little taste of what's going on here. And here's the one I was talking about where you watch Who Told You That, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier. And with your permission, Ron, I would like to kind of show what you look like in front of an audience and kind of let people see what's going on there, if you don't mind.
Please do, yes, whatever you want to do, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to click this on here, and it should take us right to a video here, and we should be able to check this out, and people should be able to hear this.
Have you had that experience as well?
Yes.
Absolutely. So what's going on? The Bible says in that same passage,
It was the law of sin operating within his members. Remember how we covered that a little bit?
I wanted to play that because that is so powerful what you did there. And I'm going to pull up the verse here. Wrong one here. There we go. Romans chapter 7. We're going to slide down here. In Romans 7. And you can see I've highlighted quite a bit in Romans 7 over the years. So I love the fact when you get down here, he said, for sin, having received the opportunity through the commandment, did deceive him, and through it did slay him. So that the law indeed is holy, and the command is holy, and righteous and good. That which is good, then, to me, has it become death? Let it not be, but the sin that it might appear sinful. Through the good, working death in me, that the sin might become exceedingly sinful through the command. For we know that the law is spiritual. I am fleshly, sold by the sin. For that which I work, I do not acknowledge. For not what I will, this I practice. But what I hate, this I do. And if I do not will, this I do. I consent to that the law is good. And now it is no longer I that does it, but the sin dwelling in me. He understood this so well, Paul did, and he is not accepting any of the responsibility for it from a human perspective because he understands there's an entity called sin. And I don't like the way they did this in this Bible because sin is actually Mr. Sin. It's a noun. When you look at this, this is an actual noun, a person, place, or thing, not an action, not an action thing by the flesh. Sin dwells in you. There's a thing. There's a voice that dwells in you, as you were pointing out, and that voice is something that's there constantly making you feel condemned, making you feel not good enough, trying to give you these thoughts that you're going, where did that come from? Or dreams. Sometimes he's in there trying to give you evils. And it goes back to what you said earlier. Who are you hearing?
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to discern that. And I think Absolutely. That's where you get into the difference between the babies, the young men, and the fathers Absolutely. As they become spiritually more mature. But are they still holy as babies? Yes, by Jesus. Are they still sanctified as babies? Yes, by Jesus.
Yeah. That's it.
That is so powerful what you're talking about in Romans 7. Not many people get that. They think that Paul's actually struggling. Paul isn't struggling. He is not struggling one bit. If he was struggling, why does he end this and say, I thank God, he says, what a wretched man I am. He's using himself as an example. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then I myself, indeed with mine, do deserve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he goes on in Romans 8:1, therefore, there yes. is now no condemnation exactly. for those who are in Christ Jesus, for through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So it's not a battle. It's not a confusion for Paul. He's using the battle of the flesh versus the spin, our sin, our spirit, versus this Mr. Sin voice that's going on. Then he says, good news here. There's no condemnation for you. None. If you've accepted Absolutely. Jesus Christ, Lord, as your Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. And to kind of to add to that, what's interesting, because he goes on to describe what the cardinal nature looks like and what happens when you follow that, and the spirit side explains that in 8. But when you take a look at the hill that Christ was crucified on, it was called Golgotha. Okay. The word Golgotha means skull.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So why did our God choose to have his son executed on a hill that was called the skull? Because the battleground is in the skull. It's in the mind.
It's in the mind.
And until there's crucifixion in the mind, there's no victory in the being.
My people suffer for lack of knowledge.
So, okay, so if that's the case, and so I'm willing to crucify that baby and mortify and do whatever it takes to get the fullness of what God's given me, I need to understand what's going on, how is that fed, and how do we get it disconnected? How do we cut that baby off? Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he said, Paul said this, he said, finally, brethren. Now, when Paul's concluding, putting a summary together, and he says, finally, my brethren, it's because he wants you to do all these previous things first, and then now this, okay? He said, learn, you have to get the different interpretation, but he said, learn to draw your strength from the power of God that dwells within you as an individual.
Learn to draw the power of the strength of God that lives in you. Wow. So powerful. Amen. So powerful, Ron. I got to tell you, this has been a joy for me to have you on here and sharing what God has done in your life. And I think it's the beginning of a great friendship. And
absolutely.
There's so much I got to learn from you that God has done in your life and your pathways to wholeness, because honestly, counseling has not been my strong suit. And I really have to say, because lack of knowledge of how to counsel and understanding that I'm righteous, holy, sanctified, and how to share that information through the technological world, God has gifted me there. And that is one area that I will spend the rest of my life doing this as long as God will allow me. And
amen.
If I can pick up some new knowledge from brothers like yourself who are strong and giants in the Lord, hallelujah, praise God.
Praise God.
With that, I'm going to speak to you listening here today. Thank you for tuning in like you always do in the prayers. If you really go back, you can't listen to this one time and understand this. This is one of those you're going to have to listen to over and over and over, because there's so much meat that was shared today with you that God has got a special plan for you. There's a reason you're listening to this right now, and there's a reason that you tuned into it, and it's because God has a plan for you in your life. He loves you. He cares about you with all of his heart. Don't believe what you're thinking in your own head, the little voices in your head telling you you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough. Don't believe those voices. Don't believe it from your family. Don't believe it from your friends. Don't believe it from the news. Believe what God says. You got to go, who do I listen to? If you've been listening to all those other voices right now, where's your life at? Is it exactly where you want to be for the rest of your life and in eternity? Do you have your ERP in place or your eternal retirement plan in place? If not, would you like to? Are you sure you want to? We found that the biggest fear is you think you got to change and become this perfect person now. It's the opposite. Just as you love your child right where they're at, he loves you right where you're at, because we all need mercy. He knows that. He knows that. And he is already forgiven it all, even before you ever do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's forgiven it. So worry not about your trips, your falls, your bike wrecks, your stumbles, all the thing that's going to happen today, tomorrow, this weekend. Just know that you are going to say yes to him, yes to Jesus. If you would bow your head with me and you would say just a few words, your life's about to change forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Repeat after me, Lord. I accept your salvational gift. I accept the fact that you came down, you died on the cross for me. You were buried and you were resurrected back to life for me, because you love me with all your heart, so much so that you gave your only son for me. I say yes to Jesus Christ. I say yes to salvation. I say yes to holiness. I say yes to sanctification. I say yes to righteousness. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah and amen. If you said yes to that, you are now in the kingdom of God, and you are a son and daughter of God, of the Most High, and angels by the multitudes are singing and joy and rejoicing and praising because you are now in the family of God, and you're not alone. He is always there with you. Your next step is, if you don't have one, get a Bible. Get something that you can easily understand. The King James is a great version, but if you can get your hands on one that's easy to understand, and start in the book of John and read the book of John to know how much you're loved, how much you're cared for. Then after that, we ask that you go to the book of Romans, and remember 1, 2, and 3 up through verse 21 is set up for those who are under the law. Then Romans 3:22 says, but now there's a righteousness apart from the law. And that's where you're at, because you just accepted Jesus Christ. And by faith, you are now a son and daughter of God. I want to thank you again and ask that you share God News Network with all who are around you and all out there, your friends, your neighbors, and everyone else. And remember, you are now a saint. And the saints are.